really very complicated but very neat one, and he was doing some other things. And one of the problems that he ran into was he tried to use a table that had a lot of links to it. Okay, so one of the reasons I've been using the drive table is we have donor. Do you all kind of vaguely remember for normal form kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, sort of? Okay. So I have an ID number here. And then I have donation. And I have the ID number here. And then I have drive. D-R-I. And I have the drive number here. And then the drive number is also over here. Now, my problem is, as I'm working with the donation, and I also have the date on this, and those are my keys. But as I'm working on this, I can't add a donation that doesn't have a drive to go with it. So I can't just make up a drive number here, because the drive number here has been set to link to that drive number over there. And so I have to have a drive number in this donation table that exists on the drive table.
Is that why I couldn't add some? I was going
that
over
could probably, it probably
I was going
is.
Over it, and I was trying to add. I'm like, why wouldn't I add now? I know I did it in class, but then when I was trying to
right.
do it again at home, I wouldn't do it for me.
And that's why I'm bringing it up, is this drive number has to exist over on the drive table, and the ID has to exist on the donor table. So if you're using, and you're not using the numbers that go with a person or go with a drive number, then you got a problem. And that's because if you go and look at access, I've got them linked, the access now. If you take out all the links, then it doesn't care. But I've got them linked. And so you have to have the drive number, etc. So that's why I've been using in class this drive table. Because as long as I have the drives that come over here, that's fine. But I can add 100 raw drives on here, and it doesn't care. Because there's no link from here to anything. The link is to here. So I can't put a drive number here that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So when I'm maintaining this database, I would have to go into the drive and put the drive in. And then I can come back and use that drive. But until it's there, so if you look at my records, I think I have 123, 124, 125, or something like that. And every single donation is to one of those drives. Okay? Every donation also goes with the donor. And again, I could use the donor table too, because the donor table doesn't link into something it's linked into. It's the donation table that's the dangerous one. Because the donation table has two links that have to be met. Now, as long as you check the ID number and put it in for somebody with that ID number, and check the drive and put it in for somebody with that drive, then you're fine. But you have to do some checking, which is why I've been playing with the drive table, because I didn't have to do any checking.
Yeah, so if you wanted to add a record, it would have to be added with the ID number through the donor table and with the...
Right. So before you put, you know, if you have a donation that's coming in for a new donor, mm-hmm. you got to create the donor first.
Yeah.
Then you can create the donation.
Yep.
And if the donation is to a non-existing drive, then you got to create the donor, then the drive, and then the donation.
Yeah, so you have to add here and here and then.
That's right.
You can call it all through the donation.
Because this donation is from a particular person that has to exist to a drive that has to exist. Okay? Now, I can have a load of drives over here, but, you know, I don't have to use them. There's no rule that says I have to use every drive, and there's no rule that says every donor has to give a donation.
Yeah.
But there is a rule that says that donations have to be made by people that we have identified as donors to a drive that we've identified as a legitimate drive.
So if you're going to update this, with new ID number and drive number, I mean, you'd have to do those two first.
That's right.
Before you could do any
exactly.
donation.
That's right.
All right.
You know, now, if you want to add donations, then just be sure you add them for an existing donor.
Yeah.
And an existing drive. And every time I add a donation, I do that. Because I know my drive numbers, and I know my donation numbers to some degree at least. And so I probably haven't commented on it, I've just done it. But when I got the questions from Justin, I started thinking about, I haven't mentioned that, I probably should. So that's what I'm doing. Okay. So, I'm going to go through this program, and it's going to take me approximately 10 minutes. And I can't tell you how many hours it took me to actually write this program. So I am now sympathizing with you.
Which program?
Which, the one that's in the,
that one that we
says caution. This is named AC. What I started doing, and then I just didn't, it was late last night when I put it up, and I didn't want to change the name because it's such a pain.
Sure.
So, caution, this is named ACD to do, and so you want to put it into a folder. And not replace the other ACD to do?
Well, you put it in a folder, and when you upload it, it did, because when I downloaded it, it's in like curve or something.
It's yeah. What?
You already have it.
Yeah.
So if we download
right.
it, we don't it, have
you'll get it in the folder, right.
Curve, it's like curve or something.
Current version.
Version.
Oh, current version. What? File, open project. Now I gotta find it. Where am I? Current version. Usually I change names right up front, but I just was playing with this too much. And now I got to try to hopefully remember what I did. I actually have one thing here that I meant to go back and change again. So look at the new things. I will go and fix it. I just remembered. I think I highlighted out the delete, the change, the add, and the show are leftovers. And I think I actually was playing around with them, and I don't think I put one of them back the way it was. But those aren't what we're looking at. Those are in the original ACD to do, and so just stick with the original. I started at first modifying those and then decided that wasn't going to work, and so I added new things. Okay, so if I go in here, this is the other thing I didn't end up using. Ooh, I thought I'd clean this up. Get rid of that, I think. Edit, undo. Where's undo? There it is. Oh, nope, I permanently got rid of it. So I hope I was right, but I don't think I used that. So I have basically set things up, and then I have a form load. Okay? Now, this was the new thing that I was playing around with, and that is the data schema. Okay? So this is kind of like binding in a certain way. The schema defines the structure of the database, its name, columns, the length, the primary key, etc. And it transfers from the schema, from the database program, to the program data. So basically what this new thing that I discovered is basically like binding in the sense that it is tying the schema that you have in the database to drive DT. Drive DT is the name of my data table. And I am now tying the schema to the data table, and then using that schema, I'm filling the drive DT. So this is a way of connecting, basically, the definition that I have in the database to the program data. And you just do that little lovely copy and paste where you say schema type mat, and it means it's mapping it basically to the database. Okay. And so that saved me a lot of the binding type stuff. And
so,
then.
So wait, no.
Okay.
So the first line there is filling the schema?
Yes.
And then the second line underneath it? Is it using the schema?
Yes, or? It's connected the schema to drive DT, and it's now apparently filling drive DT.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it has. They made this, as far as I'm concerned, incredibly tedious. There's got to be an easier way to do this, but I've never found one. It's tedious. That's all it is. And once you get so that you're connected all right, then you can do a lot of different things, but it's the connecting that's really difficult. Or you can go look at the wizard, which is what we're going to look at also. Okay, so button add was my old one. Now, when I fill the text boxes on this one, notice I have the currency manager. And I defined that, and I could have defined that any place. But I said, fill dim DR currency as data row. Okay, so I'm basically setting that up. DR, I can't remember what that was for. Anyway, DR current row as, oh, data row, I bet it was. Data row current row equals drive DT rows item row index. So the row index is what the currency manager keeps track of. And it is basically, I'm saying, that this row index, I'm now saying dim current row as the data row that's current. And I am passing it to the fill text boxes. So down here, note that I pass the current row to this sub. Okay, and so I am passing the current row, and it's been mapped already. So it's saying take the drive number and put it in that text box. Take the drive name and put it in that text box. And I'm basically filling the rows with the current record. Okay, so I'm filling the text boxes with the current record. So if I run this, hello, anytime now. Jeepers creepers. Is anybody getting this to run?
Well, we used 2013, so.
He in is faster? Okay. So there is the record. And so I've taken it and I've moved it to this. And I have moved it using the current row. So I sent down the current row. I sent it down. So up here, I said, go do this, but send down what the current row is. And so that means that the currency manager is keeping track of the current row. And when I click on next, it just keeps filling. I really got lazy on one of those.
ZZZ. anyway, it's filling that. Okay, and the current row is doing that. And there's button next, and that just moves to the next field. Button delete is, I think, the one I should have gone back and fixed. Then I've got a find method. The find method of data table's rows collection looks for a row whose primary key matches the search key. Okay? So I am telling it that I want it to find a particular record. So I've got the find method here, and the find method will look for a particular key. So I said, okay, when I clicked on the find, whatever the text drive number is, it's becoming the search key that I want to use. Okay? And then I said, find a search key. So this is finding a particular record. Whatever record I'm on, it's finding that record. So, if I click on, and let's see, what is it? Text drive number. So 125, if I click on find, it has located 125. Okay, so the find method.
But you're not doing anything with it.
No. And if I move on to the next, I've got find is finding the 123. I'm not really doing much with it. If you have not filled the schema, you would get no primary key message. You'd get a fatal error here.
Mine ain't working.
Hmm?
Mine ain't working.
It's not?
Okay, hit next, nothing ain't getting hurt.
Mine's working. Is yours working?
Mine's working. What error do you get?
Might be the 2013.
It might be. Maybe there's another version for 2013. So I found a particular drive, and then I can fill the text boxes with that drive. So this was just, again, I'm more playing around here than anything else. But I found out that I had a button find, and if I did a search string, I can find a particular thing, and I call drive what I found. And then I can take an index of drive. Okay, so I can take the index of drive and make that row index, and then I can set the current manager's position to row index. And then I can do the fill text boxes for that particular one. And I'm trying to remember, as I said, why I particularly wanted to do that, but I just found find someplace floating around. When I hit delete, I do the same thing. I find a particular record that I want to delete. Okay, so I'm finding the particular record using the find, finding the particular record, and it will then come up and say, do you want to delete this record? So if I'm running this, and I want to hit remove, so I'm going to, I'll remove my ZZZs. So if I hit remove, it comes up and says, do you want to delete this record? Yes. And what record did I just delete? Whatever. Okay. I did a find on something, and I deleted a record from here. I'm not sure which record I deleted. Anybody watch me what I was doing? So I deleted a particular record, and that asks me, do you want to delete the record? And if you do, then it goes on. And with the find, it finds that record and deletes it.
Yeah. Both of ours ain't working.
On mine,
I'm using
a
12 and she's using 13. You got null working.
I have unhandled exception of type system invalid operation.
I got
what's current assisted data. So, yeah, additional information, Microsoft. Well,
are you two, have you two guys got their working?
It's not registered.
Did you
get
it?
You know why? You know what? I probably have to add the, I'm assuming, the database into this.
I think the database is there.
Mine worked. Just opened it and ran.
I'm going to check it. No, it's there. Yeah, you're right. It is there. The database is there for mine, so I don't know what the problem is.
My the next one? Yeah, that's one of the major domination as well. So it's the same.
I get one as soon as I blow it up. Yeah. It won't even.
Oh. Oh, good!
Oh, now it broke.
Huh?
What'd now it broke. Do? I tried changing something else. Then updating it, and it stopped. Yeah, I can't even get the same thing.
And it worked so nicely for me.
Oh, you can't even get it.
Did you do something before? Is it next?
Mine doesn't even go there. Mine just immediately gets it.
Okay, let me try. I didn't download it. I just put the version up there. We will look at this. I will let me play with it a little, and we'll look at it on Thursday and make sure that I've got everything right. Notice here, begin edit and end edit. That's another new thing that they have allowed. Begin edit and end edit means that when I begin edit, I get access to these records, and I can edit them. And as soon as I do end edit, I can no longer access them. So that allows me to, for the moment, be able to change something, and then when I edit it, I can't change it anymore. So that was kind of a neat thing that I thought I found and played with. All right, I'm going to download it at home and try to get it and try to see what the problem is. But yours is working.
No, it just broke.
It broke. Okay.
After I removed something, and then I went down doing next again, and when it hit the spot where the other one was, as an unhandled exception. Deleted row information cannot be accessed through the row.
Yours won't come up at all, right? Mine comes up, and as soon as I hit next, it crashes.
Okay, so I spent a lot of wasted hours. I know, I will go home and take a look at it.
Unwind the call stack.
I thought I was all done because I tested it yesterday and I thought it was working all right. Oh, well, it's got some neat ideas. I will go home and play with it. In the meantime, the next thing that I want you to look at is... It worked fine for me at home. I swear it did. I don't know what I put up the wrong version or something.
Same thing with the JavaScript assignment I sent you the other day, and you're telling me it didn't work for you. I'm like, I went in and tested it, and it worked fine. I said, save it. I sent it, just sent it again. Oh,
it was totally different.
Yeah, something must have got messed up when it went.
Right. Well, like, I mean, it was totally different. It was a load of stuff was missing in the version you originally sent me.
I said, no. As soon as I'm done, and I know it, once I tested it, it works. I save it, I send it right then and there.
Well, you sure you did the save it before you did the send it?
Because I tested.
No, there was a whole bunch missing, and then the second one that you sent worked just fine.
Yeah, well, JavaScript, so if I didn't save it, I wouldn't be able to test it on
right.
So I know I saved it.
Yeah.
So, but when I sent it, that's why I was like, let me go back.
Okay, so let me look at this. In the meantime, we're going to look at the wizard.
I like the wizard.
Yeah, no, the wizard is definitely easier. So, we have a variety of different things you can do with the wizard. And I will bring up some of the stuff, and then you can try doing it. Open file, and I don't have this for you. I've just got a few things that I put out there for me. And I want you to try it. So we're going to go into the wizard, and I'm going to bring up, try to find where they are. There they are.
We're off to see the wizard.
or off to see the wizard, and I will look at my brilliant piece of work and see why it decided not to work. Try wizard 1, try wizard 2, but I have another one here. Wizard change data. Okay, so these are some of the ones that I've got, and we're going to look at how to do some of those. This was a wizard on a form. And if you look in your book, if you have a book, you will find that there is actually a fairly good explanation of the wizard. That's what the chapter in the book is about, is the wizard. Now, they're using the SQL server as opposed to Access. But all you have to do is just change that, you know, where I showed you in the wizard where it makes the choice about what server to use. You just have to change that because you're using an Access table, and it will work just fine. In other words, their examples are good, even though they're talking about SQL server with that one exception. You have to change it and tell it that.
I don't know how to use Access.
Hmm?
I've never used Access.
Okay.
I'm sticking around today.
So. Okay. Okay. So this particular one, I've got some... come on. Can we run, please?
Like now, we broke it.
Hello? I'm having a great day. I think that's because I closed it. Okay. That should be fine. All right, go in and let's go in and start the wizard. I'm sorry, I'm so tired, I can't see straight. So maybe these will actually work when I stop being tired. Okay, so we're going to do file, and then we're going to do a new project, right? Okay. So, we're going to call this Wizard 100. And I am going to put it out on my G drive. And I'm going to put it in the directory for this. Okay, so I've selected the folder. I'm saying okay. And I've got it up there. Okay, now, there are a couple of ways to use the wizard. Okay, you can go in, and one of them is you can do build, and I can build these wizards here. I can try to get data sources. So I'm going to do, let me see, find data sources for me. Project, add new data source. That's what I wanted. Okay, so I'm project, add new data source. The other way that you can do it is the way that we did it before, which is I put the grid up here, and then I clicked on the little arrow next to the grid. Okay.
What was that again?
Okay, so, all right, well, backing off. What we do can do is you can go and get the toolbox. I can't find anything today. Where's my toolbox? Add toolbox. Show toolbox. That's what I want, right? That's what I thought, too. Solution Explorer is there. Team, server, architect, toolbox. There we are. I told you, I got no sleep last night. So have I now got a toolbox, and where did it go?
Just drag the column to the right so it shows.
Thank you. It's actually there. I was expecting it to come up written down there. Okay, so when I did that, just going back over it, if I go to data grid view and I bring that over here. So there's my grid view, okay? Now I go down here to dock. Dock. docket.
Where?
And click in the middle of this, and it gives you a fill. That's the word you want there, is fill. Okay? So this is the other way of getting a data source, is to come in here and click on that little arrow. And that little arrow happens when you put the things up. So now you go into data source and you say add project data source, and then you get to that same thing that we got before. But that's how we get there. Okay?
How'd you get to data source?
Okay, you go to this little arrow right up here, that little arrow, and it says choose data source, and it shows none. And if I click on that and say add project data source, now the data source is there. And then I click on database, and then I click on next, and then I click on data set, and then I click on next. And connection string, if you want to see it, once you've picked, it would actually show you the connection string there if you want to see it. Okay, I want to do a new connection, and I have to, this is my first time through. So this is where I told you that in the book, they are using SQL Server, and I think they choose this one. And we're going to choose that because we're using Access, okay? So since we're using Access, we click this. And then we say, okay, it says use this selection to connect to a Microsoft Access database file, da-da. So we say continue. Okay, and then we want to know the database file name, so we do a browse. And I've got some files that I put on down here, so let's take this Books09 or Donor. Any one of them. Okay, so I'll take Donor. You have Donor because you all have that. And so I say Donor, and then as I said, you do test connection to make sure that you've made the connection. And I would never leave here without doing test connection because that means it found the database. Okay, and it says test connection succeeded. So that means it has made the connection. So all that stuff that we were coding that does the linking and the OLEDB and all the rest of it is being taken care of magically by going through this. And so it's now made the connection, and then I can say okay, and then it says the new connection is here. And again, if you click on that plus, it shows you what we have been writing as we went along. Provider equals Microsoft ACE OLEDB 12.0. That's what you've been writing, okay? But since I chose that I was going to use Access, and I chose what database I was going to use, it put that together for me, okay? And notice the G address that it's got in here is where I went to get that. So it's got that whole address in there, and it's put that together for me. Okay? So then we click on Next, and it asks you and the yes or no. And essentially what this does is the connection uses a local database that is not in. Do you want to copy the file to your project? If you copy the file, it will be copied each time you run the application. So lots of times if you answer that you want a copy, you're not going to know if things work, really, because it's not going to save it so that the next time you open it, it will be there. It's letting you play, but it's not going to open it and be there the next time. Okay, so a lot of the examples, I think, work better if you say no and tell it that you want to use the centralized version. Okay? And then it tells you we made the connection, and you say next, and now it comes up and shows you all the tables and all the views you have. Okay? Now, if you're going to do maintenance, you really don't want to be working with a view. because a view is going to be grabbing things from multiple tables and probably isn't how you want to do maintenance. Okay, you don't want to have, like, the view has a few fields from a few different tables, and so if you try to change those, you're really going to mess things up. So if you want to do maintenance, you want to stick with one of the tables, and as I said, drive is the one that works well. If you want to choose specific fields, good Lord, this is slow. If you click there, you should be eventually able to see all the fields that are under Drive 2000. There it is. So if you really don't want to see all the fields for some reason, instead of clicking up there, you can just open this and click the particular fields you want. Okay? So now I've got all the fields that I want. And now I'm saying finish. Okay. And notice that I have enable adding, enable editing, enable deleting. And so I can actually do maintenance on this. Okay. Huh?
So reorder the columns if you were doing that.
If you wanted to do sorting and that sort of things, yes. Okay. So now if I run this, eventually it comes up. Eventually. Okay, so there is my database, okay? And so now I've got all of this ability in here. And if I look at it in the background and view code, that's all I have. Okay, so it's given me all of this different stuff that I can do.
Right. You want to code it, it's half a page.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's now given me all the stuff that I can have. So I can close this. Okay, so...
So, you could you not use it if you had things you wanted to verify in the table? You know,
no, you can have buttons. You can add buttons to it and click on it if you want to get into using forms and everything like that. Now, I really should have told you to bring your book. I'm going to close the solution, and I'm going to try to remember what I want to do next. So I'm going to say new project, and we're going to, look at this. People actually have the book. Wizard 200, or whatever I called the other one.
Do we have to start a new one?
Yeah, I'm starting a new one. And if you go to your book, okay, they explain a lot of stuff about databases there. And they go through 10.1, which is basically what we've done gone through. I'm on page 604. So 10.1 is basically what we've gone through. And they take you step by step through it. 10.2 is sorting, which I basically decided to kind of skip. And 10.3 is binding a data grid to the sales staff table. And you have a book too. And you guys have a book back there?
He does.
Impressive.
I haven't read it. I'll be reading a lot of it over the summer.
And if you put it on your head, will it absorb in and you'll be all done? Okay. So I think it was 10.3 I wanted to look at. In this tutorial, you will begin by adding a new data source to your application. Then you will bind it to a grid and so forth. Um, So this is just another way of doing it. So create a new application from the view menu, select other windows. That's what I couldn't remember. From the view view.
So are you in the tutorial?
I'm in tutorial 10.3, which is on page 619. Okay. So we're going to look at view menu, select other windows. View menu, select other windows, and then you can pick data sources. Now, in fact, we have data sources up here already, but that's how you can pick it. Okay?
It doesn't like that, though.
What do you mean?
There's an error for it. Your project currently has no data sources.
Okay, but then you got the add new data source. Why did you get that, I wonder?
Oh, you did. That's the error I'm saying.
Oh, okay. You're going to click on add new data source.
Just another way to link that.
Okay.
It's just another way of getting started on it. So you're going to click on add new data source.
Okay, so you say add new data source, and it brings up basically the same thing. And they say in here, go through steps 10 and steps 7 through 13 to select the company MDF database from a sample table for chapter 10. Okay, so they want to bring that up. So I believe if somebody's looking, you can tell me what it is, but I believe they go all the way through this. Okay, so new connection, and I'm going to just stick with the same one. So I'm going to browse, and I'm going to go find that database and say open, and I'm going to test the connection. So I'm going through exactly the same thing. Connection succeeded, and then you say okay, and then you say next, and you say, I can't remember whether they said yes or no, but I'm saying no, and then you say next, and then you come up and you select the table you want, and you say finish. So now it is showing you the stuff over there. Okay? So, when you finish that, name the data set, whatever, click the finish, increase the width, you don't have to do that. Then drag the table name over. So drag the table name over, and it makes the grid for you.
From the side?
Yes, yeah. So you drag that table name over. So I had data sources there. From data sources, let me get this down and data sources up. Okay, so from data sources, I drag data sources over. So I drag Drive 2000 over. And look at the neat menu that it put up. Okay. So I can go ahead and make that a little bit bigger if I want to, or whatever I want. But it automatically, when I dragged it over from there, it made a grid to hold it. It put in the names of the fields, and it put up that menu across the top.
Okay. The other one, did that have a menu?
Say,
the way we did it before?
Doesn't have a menu. But this one, by the time I've gone and chosen it and dragged it over, it puts up the grid and makes the menu for you. If you click up here and do a view code, also notice that update that goes in there. This is the update that it adds in. And that update basically means that you're able to change the database. Okay. So you can change the database. So now if I go back to the form and I say run this, excuse me, come on, you can do it. Good Lord. This is the best advertisement for Visual Basic going. Wait, a coffee break after every move. There it is. So I can move from record to record. I can move back to the first record. I can move to the last record. I can click on the add and it automatically positions itself down here. And I can put in my whatever and my whoever. Okay. Now, the key thing is that the ad alone doesn't do it, just like it didn't for us when I wrote those programs. The ad alone doesn't do it. You have to click on that disk to do the save. If you don't do that, then it doesn't save the record. Okay, that save there basically executes the update. Okay.
But the one we had before with no menu, we wouldn't be able to.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So, if you look again over here to look at the view code, it's the save item click, whatever they called it. But that's the save item. The save item click is the drive save item click. But when you click on that, it does the update.
So what are you clicking on?
Oh,
the little disk. On disk. And when you click on that, it does the update. Okay. And so I've now saved that. Okay. And so if I get out of here and come back, hopefully it is there. If you don't mind waiting 5 minutes in between.
Yeah,
it's there. It's there. Mine is even slower than yours right now. Okay.
Yours did it too.
So there it is. And if I decide I want to go in and change something in here, I can change something. Okay. And as long as I save it, it will change.
Is it sorting it somehow?
Probably got a default sort on what? Because it did put it up high. Huh. I don't know what the default sort is set to, but you're right, because it moved it up, didn't it?
Yeah.
As opposed to keeping it down there. And I'm not sure what the default sort is on, because it doesn't appear to be on that. If I click on that, it sorts, by the way. If I click on that, it sorts. So whatever default sort it had going on, it did do a sort. But I can click on these columns and I can do a sort. Otherwise known as an S-O-R-T. Okay. And then when I want to get rid of this, I can click on this and do an X and it's gone. And again, as long as I save that, then when I go out and come back in, it's there. Now, I think I just don't like the wizard because you have to hit the right things at the right time, and I really probably should like the wizard. The one place I do like it is for maintenance. I think it's really good for maintenance because it just makes it very straightforward. I can add, change, and delete with no effort. And it really is extremely straightforward. Okay, so I've just deleted it and it's gone. Okay. So, that is one way of doing it. Okay, so now if we go in and do it again, new project, and this is going to be Wizard 300. So I'm going in and doing it again. And so I've got to go in and do it. And again, what they say is go to view other windows and bring up the data source. And in the data source, click the add new data source. Okay? So if you want to go in here, you go into view. And this is one I always forget. Other windows. For some reason, it should be a lot clearer than having to go into view other windows. But anyway. And then we are picking data sources. Okay, and we want to add a new data source, so I'm going with, I want that, that, and by the time we finish doing these, you will be not even looking at this. Previous, I probably should have chosen something, right? Did I skip one? No, tables, I want the drive, finish. Did I skip something when I went fast? It seems to be going across.
You did test it?
No, and that's what I didn't see when the test came up.
I've done that.
For some reason, it seems to think I did. Okay, so now...
That donor base is already in there when you go in there because we've used it.
Right.
In a row.
So now what I did is I just dragged over, instead of dragging the whole grid, I dragged over a field. Okay? So now I'm dragging over all of the fields. So I've now dragged over all the fields. So if I run this, come on, there it is. Okay. So if instead of the grid, I prefer to see fields, I can go through the same exact process, but just drag the fields over. Okay? And I have the ability to add, I have the ability to delete again, and changing is just going in and changing something. So if I want to add, I click on the add and it brings up a whole new thing for me to do. And we'll call this drive 300, ABC, DEF. And save it. And then I can go back to the beginning. Okay, come on. Save data. Did you really save it?
Maybe you have a different version.
Okay, so now it's there. And there's ABC. And so it's there. So I can then go in and change this to DRR, whatever I want to change it to. And click save, and it will save. Okay. And then if I want to delete it, I can click the delete, and it will go away. So that's how I can basically do maintenance. And so it's back down to 5. It was up to 6 a minute ago. Now it's back down to size, 5. And I can do maintenance on this. And I think that was tutorial 6 or something. Tutorial 4. Yeah, binding individual controls. That was tutorial 4, 10.4, if you wanted to read it.
I've missed some. You know how you dragged over your D drive number on the form?
Yep.
And then what did you do to get all the other...
I just dragged each field.
Did you go back? I mean, that spot disappeared.
Okay, there it is. There it is. If you click on the drive...
Sources. Okay.
Huh?
I got it.
You got it?
Okay. Yeah. Somehow I was in the toolbox.
Ah, okay. So if you drag those over, and going in this way, you can drag them over. It very nicely puts in the menu for you, and you can do maintenance. So it's pretty neat.
Oh, there it is.
Have you got it?
Yeah.
Wait, what's good about this one?
You get the menu.
She said, what's good about this menu? I missed that. Why it was
my
different than the other
way.
You get that menu across the top.
We got the menu across the top last time, but it was
right.
In table format. So.
Okay, the difference between them is if I drag the entire table, it says, you must want a grid.
Okay.
And if I drag individual fields, it says, you want different individual text boxes.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, but both ways gives you the menu, and the menu gives you the maintenance ability to add, change, and delete.
Every time I touch it, I have this little
and you can change, move these things around.
And you can sort them, and you can do all kinds of things. So for basic maintenance, I think the wizard is definitely the way to go because you saw how much code it takes to do the coding of it.
Yeah.
Okay? So for basic maintenance, the wizard is a wonderful thing.
So we don't even need to code for the homework then?
Ah, yeah, right. Actually, I didn't say you couldn't use the wizard, did I? I certainly meant to. Okay, do it both ways and I'll give you extra credit.
Which one is this?
The homework from week 12.
Oh, week 12?
Where I wanted you to write an update program,
I'm
so.
I'm still on the
gate. Well, the end's in sight, folks. The end's in sight. And I got to look at it. I can't figure out why that thing that I wrote, I swear I wrote it right. It's as bad as you guys when you pass in something that doesn't work.
We ain't going to have time to check it. You're going to be real busy.
Why?
Come to the end of it, because everybody's going to be turning in like 100 assignments a night.
God, yes. I'm down to about 30 in my inbox.
You could be right, she said. It must take a while to go through them all.
It does.
How many classes do you teach?
6. Well, no. Well, I only have a few people in my other classes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But there's only a few people in those 3. So the big amount of people is down here.
You require a lot of homework.
Yes, I do.
Do you have time to grade all this?
I don't have a life. Any more than you do.
We don't have lives either.
That's right.
I'm going to be out of life.
That's right. A life or what?
The game.
All right. I don't have life any more than you do. No, I mean, I can get through about 100 a day if I literally work from the moment I get up in the morning until the moment I go to bed at night. And I lots of times do that all the time.
I know one thing. If I'm working on stuff and I send in and you grade it and send it to me right away, like within that 5 minutes, that's
right.
When I try to get stuff done to send it. I know you're on.
right.
That way, if I have a question about something, I know she's there.
That's right. No,
sometimes
absolutely.
Sometimes I'm driving and I get her email and I'll pull over and like, what?
See, everything's going to be put on hold when it comes to class.
Well, the other thing is, when I go and do, as I said, I can get it through about 100 a day if I work 10 hours, 12 hours on it. But you know, by the time I get to the end, I really feel bad for the people I'm sending out the messages to because it's real shorthand. I'm so sick of writing the damn messages that I am writing shorthand. And sometimes people will show me a message and I'll say, yeah. I knew what I was writing at the time I wrote it, but I don't know now. Okay, the next thing that we're going to be starting is Web Wizard, and you are going to experiment with me. Because I have Web Wizard working fine at home, but I have no idea what Web Wizard is going to do when we bring it up here. So, go see if you can find Web Wizard, because I was going to do that today, and we're done with 15 minutes to go, so we're going to look for Web Wizard. Does anybody see it even? You've got to have it.
Not in the desk, though.
Does it have a...
It's a Microsoft product.
So this is something we're going to have to go download.
There it is. Microsoft Web Matrix.
Web Matrix.
What did I say?
When I was in the
yeah, me too. Did you see it when I opened it earlier?
I didn't see it.
I opened it by accident.
Because okay. I just double-clicked.
Now, what this is we're going to look at the way your book does it. The last topic. You'll be happy to know it's the last topic. And I think we're going to get through next week. So I think the last week is open. Okay, which is what I try to make. I try to make the last week open. So that... But it's not really open because I give you your final that week. That you can, it's not due for a week, but I give it to you during that last week. So that's time that you can work on the final. So, Web Matrix, if you click on Microsoft Web Matrix,
it takes a long time to open.
Is that a free program?
Is that a what?
Free program.
Yes.
So, the book has a section on it?
No.
Oh.
We're going to look at what the book has, which is how to do web development inside VB. But this is a Microsoft product that lets you do web development outside of VB. And it opens with the usual speed and
efficiency
that we have come to know and love.
Well, I got to install this to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Here, let me know so that I can do it too.
And I'm going to say not now to whatever they want.
Free trial.
To the free trial of whatever, but that's a
that's free demo.
Of Azure. This is a free demo.
Yeah, it's free though. Yeah. You don't have to buy it later, right?
No.
It's just a free, yeah.
As far as I know, it's free.
Yeah.
I've had it on my machine I played with it first this summer. And so I've had it on my machine since this summer, and they haven't nagged me about I have to do anything or anything. So now I've got new and empty site, although you can go to template gallery and get empty site too. But new empty site. Well, we're going to build a empty thing.
What is this for?
Web development with Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
And it's an alternative to, we're going to look at how to do it the way your book tells you, how to develop a website inside Visual Basic. But this is just a really kind of nice way of doing it, and supported by Microsoft. You can see they say you can launch Visual Studio to run what you do and everything like that. So create a new file, choose from one of the templates. I'm clicking on create a new file, and what I want to choose is VBHTML. So that's Visual Basic HTML. Okay, so.
I use this 122.
Huh?
I use this 122.
And then you can give it a name down below? Is that like the
and
name
then
of the
you
project?
Can give it a name, whatever you want to call it. So this is going to be first. And then we're clicking on OK. and it has come up. So it is working. There's got to be a way that I should have changed the name of Empty Site, but anyway, if you keep calling everything Empty Site, then the next one becomes Empty Site 1 and Empty Site 2, and but there's got to be a way that I could have changed that, and I forgot what it is.
Do a save as, no.
I think ignoring the templates. Notice down here, files is checked because you're creating a file. We're going to look at databases, and that's why I'm not positive we're going to get through next week, but homework-wise, we'll be through next week. We might go into Tuesday of the following week. But I want to show you the MFS database, the Microsoft SQL Server database that they allow you to make inside here, which is really nice. So I can go in here in my header, in my body, and I can put in a header. This is a header. And then I can put in a paragraph. This is a paragraph. And when I want to run it, I come over here and I right click and I say launch in browser. And when I say launch in browser, it comes up with what I put in there. And notice it says that this is using localhost. So it's using localhost. And it's creating first VB 2010. Okay. So this is what I have, and this is what it created.
Where was the launch in the browser?
Right-click on the name over here, and it says launch in browser.
Okay.
Okay, and it will launch it. Now, what the code up above is it's a place that you can actually write Visual Basic code. So you can go in there and do Visual Basic kind of stuff. I haven't moved stuff over. I'm going to go to my home page. And I played around with this last semester, actually in Advanced Visual Basic. So if I go to, actually, previous semesters, and 256, and here are programs, nope, ASP, yes, okay, this is ASP, ASP is, I can't remember what ASP stands for, but ASP is Microsoft's answer to doing web pages. And this is basic ASP using VBHTML in a web matrix. So if I click on these, and I will move over these examples to your page, but I really wasn't thinking I was going to do this today. But that's because I thought my program was going to work. I still got to find out if I put the wrong version out there. It really did work at home. Where have I heard that before?
It worked when I sent it to you.
That's right, exactly. Okay, here are a bunch of examples. So, I've got if first VBHTML. I went over on the... Do you see where how I got here?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, no, you gotta be on top of these things here.
Well, I was trying to download.
I went to okay, pencil.
256, so that's what.
But it doesn't actually show. So you have to go into previous semesters. Then you go to fall 2014 and pick 256. And then it is under ASP. And if you click on Basic ASP using VBHTML in Web Matrix format, that brings up this. Okay? So, what I've got there is I have got some stuff that I put inside code. Okay? And so that's the kind of code that you can put inside. So I can take that, and inside the part that says code, I can say dim paper hours worked, etc., and put out your pay is and pay. So I'm going to copy this and go back into my example and put it in here. Okay? So I've now put some Visual Basic in there. So I dimmed pay per hour and all of that. And then I'm going to, and we'll come back and look at this in a minute, but I want to make sure it's working.
You got to put it in between the code?
Yes.
And the code.
Okay. And if you copy, I just copied and pasted what was inside it so that I didn't have it duplicated. And it worked. As you can see it up there, your pay is given what I put in. That
did you just say
pay.
Run? Or did you
not launch in browser. Launch in browser. So it's kind of interesting, the mixing and matching of different languages. So what we have here is dim, the if, end if, all that is pure Visual Basic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last line I want to use, I want to print it out on a web page. So I need to use a paragraph, which is HTML. So when I want to switch over to HTML, I use the at sign. And when I'm you want to include a variable, I use the at sign again. So here I've got at sign code, and there's the end of the code. And then when I want to switch over to HTML, I've got an at sign, your pay is, and I want to put a variable in there, I put the at sign in again. And then I close the paragraph. And so basically what that ends up doing is running. And if you look at my output, there's my output. Okay? It did the code first. I could have moved the code someplace else, but I just kept it where it was. It did the code first, and then it came down and did the HTML, so you can see the HTML mixing in with this. It launched in a browser, so this is something that I can put up on the web and run. Right now, it's running in localhost, and you can see that it's running in localhost. Okay? So this is a kind of neat little thing that you can use to develop web pages using Visual Basic.
Can you show me how you got that?
How I got which?
That's the code. No, not that. I got that.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't get that tab to come up to actually, like, start going.
Okay.
I missed it because I was downloading.
All right, so let's back up. I didn't mean to back up quite that much. Web Matrix.
No.
Come on. You can do it. It's not supposed to do this the second time I load, right?
Right where you are.
Okay. So I clicked on new. Then I picked empty site. You can pick template gallery. And if you pick template gallery, you can then pick empty site. And this is one of the ways you can actually get a name for it. So now I can call it not empty site. And click on that, and then click next, and it loads it. So I can do empty site, or I can do it via template. And then But it comes up with this kind of assuming C, the C, the C sharp there. It's kind of assumes that. Choose, where's the VB? It should have come up with the VB. Create a file. Apparently I can't do that because I did it at home and I swear it did because I tried both ways at home.
What if you go to all?
Isn't that what we did before?
Yeah, go to all.
Go to all, where's all?
To the left.
Right, left, I can do left. Okay, there it is. Somebody was paying attention.
Right.
It wasn't me, clearly, but somebody was. So I can now call this second, or whatever. And it now is going to let me do VB, but it's still got the CS, and that kind of, I'm not too fond of that going in by the template from that point of view. If you just hit empty site, it goes directly in, and I only see the VB stuff. But now I've got this stuff up, and again, I can just paste the code in there. If I still have it, yeah, I do. And so there's my code. And if I say launch in browser, there's my code. Okay. And this time I didn't put anything down in the HTML. I just copied that one thing in. And so when I launched it, I simply got your pay is and the result of the pay calculation.
You want to launch that again?
Launching is to right-click on that and then say launch in browser. Okay. And then that launches it in the browser and you've got a web page, so to speak. You can put images on, you can do anything you want. You can go down in HTML, for example, and set up an image source equals and put the name of an image in, and you can do all kinds of stuff. You can put links in. So basically what you're doing here is you're combining VB to do any calculations you have to do.
Instead of JavaScript?
Huh? Instead of JavaScript, right. Yeah.
Might as well got it. Huh? 22, instead of doing that JavaScript, I just do this.
In your dreams. So.
Sorry, this was just in the computer back there.
Oh, wow.
It's just the one at the end of the row that my dad's at.
Okay, Lisa. I would think she would be back for it.
Yeah, he's on it.
Right. Okay, so that's it. So that's what we're going to look at next week is this and what the book talks about on web development. And